May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Hymn number 24. The first book of Samuel, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide for ever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck, until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. May the Lord bless his word. Help his servant in prayer.
Once more, dear Lord, we would venture to the throne of thy grace. And as thou art pleased to gather us once more in thy courts, we do desire that thou wilt come and be the master of assemblies, that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence, both in our hearts and too within these walls, and that we may prove, Lord, what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. O Lord, may we come with that desire of those Greeks of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, we pray for a glimpse by living faith of Jesus only this night. Thou wilt remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares, that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above. And, O Lord, as we ventured before thee, we would venture pleading thy precious name and precious blood and glorious merits, or that we might obtain thy ear. Thou wilt help us, Lord, to spread before thee all our need, all our concerns, knowing that thou art a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And, O Lord, as we have been favoured with the sunshine in the earth, we do pray that we may be favoured this evening with the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. And thou knowest, Lord, those that need thee, to grant that healing both of body, or of mind, or of soul, Lord. May we prove what the dear hymn writer said, 'tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. Oh, we pray for a spirit of real God-given repentance. We may be ever as repenting sinners at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. And, oh Lord, as we sung in closing this morning, that sweet mercy that has brought us again, mercy that is transporting this sweet. And all we would look back, Lord, and praise thy holy name for the mercies we're favoured with. One said of old, mercies countless as the sand that daily I receive. O Lord, we would come pleading for mercy for our souls, that thou wilt wash us and cleanse us from all our many sins in thy precious blood, that thou wilt seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul, that burdened sinners may lose their load this night, that great load of sin and load of sorrow and of unbelief. Thou wilt take away, Lord, the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. And oh, may we know in our souls that sweet cleansing from all sin. For thou hast said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, that we may know that sweet peace of Calvary. One said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And oh, we pray thou wilt convey that sweet peace to each of thy troubled people. That there may be those, Lord, know what it is to experience like the disciples did when the storm was calmed by thee, and that peace that followed, Lord, may it now be known in each of our souls. Who soften us, Lord, by thy grace, and grant us grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. We may be ever tender and humble at thy dear feet, and ever be as nothing, that a precious Jesus may be the one thing that's needful, the altogether lovely. And come, dear Lord, and dry up the tears of those that are weeping tonight. Who knowest thee in many things that would make thy children weep. And oh, may their sorrow be turned into joy. That weeping, for thou hast said that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, may it please thee that those that are shedding many tears inwardly, Lord, if not outwardly, have those tears turned into joy. And oh, do soften each hard heart, Lord. Remove all rebelliousness and hardness. May we be tender followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Do favour us, Lord, more and more to know of thy preciousness, thy suitability, that thou art suited to every sinner's case. May we know those times of sweet communion with thee, fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. May we have that sweet assurance from heaven that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that each may say, for me. We pray for grace, Lord, to be submissive to thy mind and thy will. Help us to lie at thy dear feet and know no will but thine. Who guide us, Lord, in all these steps of providence and of grace. How we need thee, as the dear psalmist prayed, to guide us by thy counsel, and afterward receive us to glory. Grant, we pray, a true, broken, contrite heart, a heart to fear thy holy name. Who grant us, Lord, the quickening of thy spirit, that we need thee to quicken us again and make us lively, Lord, in the vital things of God. And oh, that we may have that life divine in our souls. For thou didst say to thy dear disciples, because I live, ye shall live also. Who save us from all deadness and coldness and hardness. May we have that true broken heart and contrite spirit. Remember those in affliction's pathway, dear Lord. We pray for healing and restoring mercies, that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions. Many, Lord, are in deep afflictions, thy servants, their dear wives, and others, Lord. We pray that thou wilt speak through these things, and that there may be many are brought to know thee and to serve thee, even under the depths of affliction. Lord, may they be blessed much with thy presence, or do make each bed in each affliction. And comfort those that are weeping and mourning at this time. Our dear brother at the desk, Lord, and his dear family, we would lovingly commend them all to thee. We thank thee for thy upholding and supporting grace thus far. We pray thou wilt go on to be gracious and sanctify this great loss to them. And oh, may they see in it all and be able to say, my Jesus hath done all things well. Lord, do prepare us each for that great day, being constantly reminded, Lord, that eternity is before us. As one of old said, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Our heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, do fit us and prepare us, Lord, to stand before thy face, for thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood, so shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Do take away all the fear of death and the fear of dying, and sweetly assure us each, Lord, that thou art our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, do help us to lean upon thee and trust in thee for all things. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless the dear children, the little ones and the babes, and all the dear young people too, who keep them, preserve them, watch over them. May they be brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal, in their early days. They may be raised up a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. Send down, we pray, those answers of peace. And oh, we pray for safe deliverance to those that carry babes, Lord, and that thou wilt grant that special help in the remainder of the time and at the time of birth. And oh, may they prove, Lord, that their sufficiency is of thee. Do grant that needed life to the babes and spare life to the dear mothers. We thank thee for those that have been brought forth of late, Lord. So many, and those close to us by the ties of nature too. We would praise and bless thy holy name. And oh, we pray that thou wilt Bless the church here and congregation, to add to them in the church yet precious souls. May there be those made willing, Lord, to take up their cross, to follow thee, to keep thy commandments, and to walk in thy ways. Lord, thou alone canst grant it. We thank thee for those thou hast brought in the last few weeks, Lord. We pray that it may be the sound of an abundance of rain. Zion may be once again prospered, and there be a real time of rejoicing at the presence of the Lord. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless our own flock too. We thank thee for what thou hast done. And we pray especially as we're spared to next Saturday, Lord, to go through those waters with a dear soul. There might be others, Lord, wrought upon and constrained. And that there may be yet, even here and throughout Zion, the time of real prosperity. And Lord, do bless thy servants and help them. Grant them gracious anointing of thy Spirit and liberty in preaching the word. And may there be that real fruit to follow. And O Lord, we would pray for all that we know, many of them we know, many we know not, that need thee in so many ways, in trouble, temptation, sorrow, Lord, losses and crosses. Do undertake for each one, we pray. And may they be enabled to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Remember, Lord, this guilty nation. We pray that thou would appear and turn us from our idols and sin and wickedness. Bring us as a nation to real repentance over our national sins and to turn to thee. And, oh, do overturn and overturn all the works of the devil, Lord. The laws that are contrary to thy word, we pray for thy appearing, that thou would in mercy look upon the British Isles once again, and oh, that we may see the wonders thou alone canst do. In the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still. Who bless our Queen and remember her in her great age, Lord. We thank thee for sparing her these many years. We pray that her and the royal household may be brought to know thee vitally and savingly, and that they may set a right example in this nation. Who preserve to us thy holy word and holy day, the privileges we are favoured with and being able to gather in thy courts. And oh, do stem the tide of iniquity and sin, overturn all the works of evil, violent men, and may we yet see thy appearing. Leave us not, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation, who make up where we so fail in our asking, Lord, to bless thy holy word and remember, Lord, each one here and apply the word, if it would please thee, with power this night, and that which is sown in weakness may be raised in power. And oh, that thou wouldst take to thyself all the glory, all the praise. We would seek for a heart to love and praise thee more, unworthy as we are. O Lord, do help us now to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, to pour in that we might pour out. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1100. 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue, it has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Hymn number 1100.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 106 and the fourth verse. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. How many of us this evening could truly say, this is my earnest prayer? Because if it is, poor soul, the hour will come where the Lord will remember you and then favour you. And these times of sweet remembrance you won't forget. The favours you'll feel so unworthy of that the Lord should take notice of you. But as we begin this evening, firstly, remember me, O Lord. This is a prayer that you will never wear out, nor will I. There are those prayers in the Word of God which will never be worn out. There be the continual cry of the dear children of God from their early days, and the Lord begins with them to their dying day. And such prayers are of great value, really, to the child of God personally, though they may feel that they're uttered so often in much weakness and feel so unfit to even utter them. And yet they're the inmost longings of the soul. We read in the lesson, didn't we, and that beautiful case of dear Hannah. And oh, you think of all what she was in, which I don't intend to go into this evening, but it was not just one trouble, it was many. And what do we find in her prayer? And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thine handmaid, and then this, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid. And then later on we read, didn't we, how the Lord remembered her. And you look back to tonight of those times where you prayed this prayer. And then you look back and think of the times where he has remembered you. He hasn't passed you by, though you feared he would, because of your sin and unbelief. And may the Lord favour us still more and more with this earnest petition. Remember me, O Lord. Don't pass me by. Come where I am. Visit me. As he says here in the latter part of the text, with thy salvation. But I hope to come to that later. We tried to look a little this morning, a few of the favours, how the Lord favours his dear people with real fervent prayer, the throne of grace they can go to. And we tried to look a little at the grace that is needed by the child of God. What a favour to be under the influence of God's grace. But I want to just look at a few things concerning that. Firstly, the grace of submission. It's a wonderful favour, you know, given by God to his dear people. The grace of submission. It's not in our nature, is it? Things go against us and try us and trouble us, and what does old nature do? He begins to kick, to rebel. Evil thoughts against the Lord. Why has this come? We hear of it so much in the world and the ungodly, don't we? But what a mercy when he remembers us and favours us with sweet submission. Look at the difference between Job and his wife when he had to pass through that great trial. She said, "Curse God and die." What did dear Job say? You see the wonderful submission there was given to him. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful favour to be submissive, isn't it, to the Lord's mind, his will. It's like the dear hymn writer said, to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. All the rebelliousness and hardness, all removed. It's a sacred place, you know. And may we know more and more of it. Sweet submission to the Lord's mind, his will. But then, too, we need the favour of his grace to be bestowed on us, that we may be tender and humble. You know, it's a wonderful thing, is the grace of humility. Well, could dear Peter write in his epistle, couldn't he? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exhort you in due time. Sacred place, when we are humbled in the dust, resigned to his will. Submissive. And he will humble his dear people. There may be some of you that, or you young ones that are rebellious about things. But you know the Lord can knock it all out of you in a moment, he can. Oh, he can. We think of that verse of the hymn, "Rebellious thou hast been." That is fact, isn't it? And art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I fulfill. And if the Lord breathe that in your poor heart, poor soul, you'll feel what a favour that he's ever spoken such a word to you. But since in love. I did hint at it this morning. His love to sinners. Love to those that know the Lord. A taste of his love. It'll melt the hardest marble of your poor heart and mine. But then, the grace to continue. The hymn writer said, didn't he, grant us such supplies of grace that we may persevere. You know, so often when the way is difficult and hard in affliction and trial and temptation, we think, how can we continue? How can we go on? Wondering where the scene will end. And the adversary, Satan, takes full advantage, buffeting the child of God. But he will give grace to continue. Oh, he will. And what a favour to have that grace to continue. You think of the Apostle Paul, what he said before Agrippa and those nobles. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And without that help, he could have never continued, nor can you, nor can I. And what a favour when he gives us that help to continue. We think of the dear disciples, just prior to going to Calvary. What did he say to them? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. How was it those 11 continued? It was by the grace of God. And that was the difference between them and Judas. He never continued. He went out and hanged himself. Thing how solemn. You see, one of the greatest evidences that we are among the children of God is the continuing. We see many, you look back through our little denomination, many that have made a profession, many that have been loyal to many of our chapels, but where are they today? They've never continued. It's very solemn, you know. Either gone back in the world or gone to lighter things or things that would satisfy the carnal mind and never feed the soul. They've not continued. But oh, a mercy to be like those 11. They continued with him in his temptations. And you see, you may have many temptations, poor soul, but what does the Saviour sweetly say? And the hymn writer took it up, didn't he? And our temptations are his. Touch with a sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. For he has felt the same. That continuing grace. And then just one further thing, and then I must go on. But you think of the apostle. I hinted at it at Southery this afternoon when he had that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. How could he continue? The flesh didn't want it, didn't like it. Lord, take it away. There may be things in your pathway you say, Lord, take them away. We cannot endure them. We want it easier. But you know, the Lord did not take it away, did he? But he favoured him. And it's a wonderful thing with the application of his precious word. What a favour to have the word applied to us with divine power. And you see, what the Lord said to him was this, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You think of the sacred promises that God has left on record in his holy word. And when he gives them to his dear children, he will apply them with such power they are burnt in the sinner's heart. And they feel so unworthy the Lord should ever give them such a word such as that which he gave the apostle. And he was going to need that not only that day, but in the days to come. You know, there's many that are now in glory of the Lord's dear children, and we've been witnesses of it, sweetly seen it in them. The Lord has given them a word. It stood by them when everything else has failed. And it stood by them, that word has, because it was given by the Holy Spirit, sealed in their poor heart, and it's carried them right the way through and carried them through the swellings of Jordan. And what a favour to have such a word, you see. You think of dear Joshua when he was to lead the children of Israel at the death of Moses. How could he do it? He looks back at how the Lord's been with dear Moses all those years through the wilderness, the trials they had to go through, the rebellious, stiff-necked people he had to lead. But Joshua was to take up the mantle. Moses was to be taken home to glory. How could he do it? Well, the Lord gave Moses this word to speak to Joshua. And it wasn't just Moses' word, it was the Lord's word to him. And think of it this evening. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Do you need such a word as that this evening, poor soul? May the Lord favour us with the application of it, as he did dear Joshua. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Maybe in a step of providence. Maybe in regarding your soul. Maybe concerning following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. Maybe in the future pathway that's before you. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Oh, what a favour to receive such a word. And you know, that word was to carry Joshua when everything else failed. All he got was, like some of the old saints used to say, was the word to hang on, the word to lean on, the word to rest on. That's a precious word to me, if I may just drop a personal note of that. When I joined the church in 1963, the dear servant of God received me into the church. He gave me that word, you know. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, I think it is. You know, and that word, you know, has carried me on many occasions. Oh, it has. Not only was it precious when it was given to me, it's been precious to me many times since. And you know, one feels, as we try and name it very feebly this evening, precious to me even today. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Do you need the Lord to go before you tonight, poor son? He will be with thee. A precious Jesus walking with thee. He will not fail thee. Man may fail you, your loved ones may fail you, but he will never fail. His dear people, what a favour. We have a God in heaven who never fails his dear people. You think of the dear disciples, the dear Saviour never failed them. There they were, as we looked at this afternoon, Peter sinking in the sea. And the Lord didn't fail him, did he? Oh no, he put his arms out and caught Peter and lifted him up, raised him up out of that sea, delivered him from the tempest. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The hymn writer said, of friends and counsellors bereft, you may, but he will not forsake thee. Oh no. Once he loves, he never leaves, but loves his dear children to the end. Oh, he does. Loves them to the end. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Well, much further could be said on the precious word, and what a favour it is, you see, in this dark and solemn day, we still have the precious word of God, and it's still being preached. May the Holy Spirit so seal the word home with power to us. And what will it be? It'll be food to the hungry, a drink to the thirsty. You think how favoured you are when you're really hungry and there's a lovely meal put before you. You feel so favoured to have something to nourish your body, strengthen you to go on. Think about it spiritually. The word of God, it's food to the hungry sinner. Man doth not live by bread only, Moses said, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. A word to carry you along, you say. A word to uphold you when you're sinking. A word to keep you down when we're left to ourselves and to pride and to the things of this world, and it brings us right down to lean upon the dear Redeemer. With the favour. But let us look at another aspect of this briefly. What a favour. And it's been with me so much since the text came. What a favour to be favoured with the sweet presence of the dear Redeemer with us. His sweet presence. One's mind goes to that beautiful promise the Lord spoke to dear Moses. If ever a man knew the presence of the Lord with him, Moses did. What did the Lord say to him? And may he whisper it to your poor soul and mine this evening. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And what did Moses say to the Lord? And so will you say it. So will I, if we know the preciousness of it and the favour of it. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, don't leave us to walk alone. Don't leave us to venture in anything alone. But may thy presence go with us. And the Lord promised him he would, and my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What a favour to know something of that sweet rest, isn't it, that there is in Jesus. When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. Rest in him. Think of the dove, you know, when Noah sent her forth from the ark. The flood was still upon the face of the whole earth. She goes to and fro and found no place of rest. What does she do? She returns to the ark. And what did dear Noah do? He put out his arms and took her in, and his hands. He didn't leave her to perish, did he? In that great flood. And so the Lord will to his dear people. He'll give them rest. And what does the hymn writer say? And I think it's a beautiful description of it, really. In the ark, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Do you know what it is to rest in Jesus, poor soul? In the ark, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Are you resting in his arms tonight, poor soul? I'll tell you something, they'll never fail you. Oh no. Why did she return to that ark? Because, you see, there was no place of rest, only there. There was a safety. There was a stay. So it will be for the poor, tempted child of God. He'll favour them with his sweet presence and give them rest. When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. It's a venturing upon the Lord, really, isn't it? If he fails you, you're finished. I so often feel when I go in the pulpit up and down this land, you know, I know this, if the Lord fails me, I'm finished. But you see, he promised not to fail his dear people, and you think of the things you may be walking in, he will not fail thee. You may fail, I fail continually, but he never fails his dear people. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto unto thy people. Oh, the sweet presence of the Lord, you see. It's sacred, you know, and we feel the Lord to draw near and go with us. Think of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. Well, those of you tonight may have many things to make you sad. They were sad. What did they say? They have taken away my Lord. We know not where, like Mary Magdalene said, we know not where they've laid him. They said we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. It seemed as though everything was gone. They'd seen, and I speak it with much reverence, the dear Redeemer nailed to Calvary's tree. They'd seen his precious body laid in the tomb, a great stone rolled upon it. They said, we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And they go from Jerusalem back to their home in Emmaus, sad. You can well understand them being sad. They'd known the sweet physical presence of the Saviour with them, but now they were to know it no more. That's how they felt. But he had promised them that he would rise again the third day. And you see, as they journeyed, were sad. They weren't to be left to walk alone, were they? The hymn writer said, and it may be your prayer tonight, leave me not to walk alone. They feared they'd have to walk alone, but he drew near and he went with them. And they knew what it was to feel him with them. Though their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He hadn't revealed his identity to them. But he communed with them. You know what it is when the Lord communes with you, and you, I was going to say, you don't say, you don't want to be left to presumption, do you? Is it the Lord with us? And yet you feel so touched by the presence of the Saviour. They were. He communed with them and spoke to them of the things that had taken the place. Beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The whole conversation was taken up by Christ. He was first and last and all and in all to them. And as they drew nigh to Emmaus, what did he do? He made as though he would have gone further. Why did he do that? To test them out. You know, if you've got a real religion, child of God, the Lord will put you through the test sometimes. It's like children at school have to go through it, don't you? You young ones will know that better than I do. See how you're faring. He put them to the test. He made as though he would have gone further when they got to the destination. It's like when he came to them walking on the sea. What do we read? He would have passed by them. He went as if he was going to pass by them. But he didn't, did he? He came right where they were. Oh, may we know and be favoured to know what it is for the Lord to come right where we are. When Jesus, what does the hymn writer say? With his mighty love visits my troubled breast. My doubts subside. My fears remove. And I'm completely blessed. Beautiful hymn, that is, 251, isn't it? You read it at your leisure. Then he made as though he would have gone further, but no, he abides with. They said to him, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. It's a good prayer, that is, isn't it? Lord, do abide with us. May it be so tonight as we go to our place of where we abide, that he abides with us. We don't go alone. As the hymn writer said, and go in, take thee to our home. And what did he do? He went in, favoured them to go in and to abide with them. Oh, what was their hearts feeling in it all? What did they say? Did not our heart, notice the wording of it, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he unfolded to us the scriptures? Do you know what it is when your heart's burn within you while he's talking with you by the way? And what did it burn with? It burnt in love to him. Oh yes. Could you say tonight, if you have a taste of his presence, his love and manifesting himself to them like he did. He made himself known to them in breaking of bread. What do you feel? You're about to say, do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see. You'll feel overwhelmed by the sweet and sacred presence of the Saviour and his love toward you. Oh, his love to them was so manifested right the way through that journey. They were melted by it, they were. Their heart burned in love to him. And there's no doubt heart burned in sympathy for what he, all that he'd endured for them. Touched by it all they were. The compassion of the dear Saviour. What a mercy it is we have a great high priest in the dear Lord Jesus that's touched with the infirmities of his people. A compassionate Saviour. You know, when you're in grief or sorrow, and those are compassionate are with you and convey that love and affection, it's quite overwhelming in a natural way, but think about it far greater so spiritual. You'll say, Lord, why me? They would, as I've often said, they would never to forget that journey. You know? Have you got any journeys you won't forget? Where the Saviour has drew near and gone with you. And then the sacred ordinance of baptism, you know, and the exercise of it is very sacred when the Lord draws near and he goes with the poor sinner in it all. And even in the sacred waters, favours them to feel those everlasting arms under them. The eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, what a favour. And underneath all what you're in, all the sorrows, all the afflictions, all the trials, underneath are the everlasting arms. To hold you up and hold you on. So you can venture on in the journey. Remember me. Oh, may that be our fervent prayer. Oh, Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, the favour of his pardoning love, the favour of the application of his precious blood. Oh, it is very sweet and sacred to me, that precious blood, and what a favour it is that the sinner can sweetly experience it was shed for you. And if the Holy Spirit conveys it to you, like in that sacred ordinance of the Lord's Supper, you know, the gospel we read, don't we? It's so often read at the Lord's Supper, where, and I remember once at ministering the Lord's Supper at Ashwell, and I've never forgot it. You see, regarding the blood, and I speak it with much reverence concerning the wine, illustrating the precious blood of Jesus, and the bread, representing his precious broken body. And he says here, this is my body which is given for you. And I shall never forget reading that, you know, after I'd broken the bread to give it to the dear souls to partake, which is given for you. And it just melted me, you know. Oh, to have such an occasion again. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, and listen, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And then listen, which is shed for you. You may say, what, such a black sinner as me, such a vile character like me, shed for you. He shed his precious blood, poor soul. to wash and cleanse every one that the Father had given him to suffer, bleed and die for, from all their sin. Think of those precious words, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, not some of them, all sin. And may the Holy Spirit favour you with the sweet assurance of that this evening. And you'll go home melted by his mercy and kindness and suffering, bleeding, dying for you. Remember me then, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And then he closes it in just a brief word, and I must be done. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Full and complete deliverance. Lord, visit me. My mind goes to the case of Zacchaeus. You know, when the Lord passed through Jericho, where was the dear man? Well, he was a Pharisee, one of the chief of the Pharisees. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know, there's so much we need to come down from in our hearts, in our thoughts. We've no stones to cast at Zacchaeus. All the pride must go, all the self-righteousness, all the natural religion. We've got to come down from it all and to lie at his feet. For today I must abide at thy house. How would you feel tonight if the Lord were to say that to you? For today I must abide at thy house. First the house under the roof of the skin, in thy poor heart. Then where we dwell, or then with the house of God, the sanctuary, I must abide at this house, at thy house. And then we see the gracious effect of it. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And then listen, this is the word. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. You think of it. Here was this man, you say. This day is salvation come to this house. What a favour it would be in your soul and in mine if the Lord were to say that to you. In answer to this prayer, visit me with thy salvation. You'll be the most favoured soul that walked the earth, you will feel personally, if the Lord said that to you and to me. This day is salvation come to this house. full and complete deliverance. Reminds me, and I hinted at it this afternoon, of dear Jonah, when the Lord commanded the fish to vomit out Jonah on dry land. What did he say? Salvation is of the Lord. Dear old Mr. Percy Labour was blind, and when he preached, you know, he often said that was one of the sweetest sermons that was ever preached, when Jonah came out of that fish's belly and said, salvation is of the Lord. Full and free and complete deliverance. Well, the hour's fast coming with us each when we shall have to leave this earth. May this prayer in our text, and I've only scratched around the surface of it today, be our fervent prayer. And may that blessed salvation be manifested to our souls. Say unto my soul, the psalmist said, I am thy salvation. That'll be your plea. You won't but rest until the Lord sweetly assures you he is your salvation. The children of Israel at the Red Sea had to stand still to see it. The salvation of the Lord. Oh, may the Holy Spirit lead us by faith to Calvary and see the wonders of salvation. A dying Saviour in the room placed instead of sinners, laying down his precious life that he might take it again, that all the enemies of the child of God be destroyed forever. Full and complete salvation. Arose a mighty conqueror, didn't he? Over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, may the Lord come over the poverty of my poor attempts and bless the word to us each, and he shall have all the glory.
The collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with address by Mr. Field. And Mr. Matthew Hyde hopes to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach with the evening service at 6 o'clock. And he also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 940. Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Hymn 940.
Thank you.
do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys in our poor hearts. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each, and now and forevermore. Amen.